Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Today, it is harder than ever to see between good and evil in bills that is unfortunately going through this Congress. But we're here today to hopefully shed some light on some things that have just recently been passed. But, as always, we like to start the show off with asking God to really give us wisdom and discernment. With that in mind, I'm going to ask our dear friend, Don Wildman, to start off with us.
Hi, Don. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for the many blessings that we see in our lives working every single day. We thank you for the blessings of the show City on the Hill. We thank you for Breaking News Journal and for CURE and for all of the folks out there that are actually fighting so desperately on your path and your light to really protect the children of our nation. We'd ask that you would continue to protect us while in this fight. We know that we are going up against the money changers, the money people, the people who would do evil for their own agenda and no other reason. So we need your guiding light. We need your guiding force and your protection. And we ask you, as always, to please continue to protect our military, both home and abroad, and their families. They sacrifice so much for our nation. And we ask you to bless all the chaplains out there, the chaplains that are associated with our military, the ones that are trying to help our House, our Senate, our Supreme Court, and our President. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I think I hear our dear friend Lou. Is that you, Lou?
I'm here, Diana. Good to hear from you. And
God bless you, Lou. Well, you know, we need you so desperately. I'm so glad you're on. And let me say hello to also Miss Christina. Miss Christina, is that you I'm seeing?
Yes, honey, it's me. I'm here.
Okay, well, Lou, we've got our dearest friends in California, Ms. Christina Micus with Tea Parties in California, and, of course, Don Wildman, you know. And, Lou, I tell you, Lou, I just saw something pass through the screen, and my heart wishes it was really great. But we got to hear from Charlotte Iserby, and she was on a call with CURE, Citizens United for Responsible Education, that Don and Ms. Christina has formed. And I was so in love with this bill until Ms. Charlotte told us the bottom line is it's a Pandora's box, because once charter school gets in, and that's really the bottom line deal with everything now, is they want unelected boards. So we were so thrilled to see, because it has so many great carrots, Lou, but then, you know, just like everywhere in each state, it seems like we're just beating our head, Lou, beating our head.
Well, I mean, we are to a degree. I will say that, you know, the frustration that we have experienced with our legislators this past session speaks to the problem you just said. And the fact that we have a totally dominated GOP legislature does not guarantee that we are going to, you know, see that the repeal of Common Core is going to be an easy road. And I think that, you know, it's one of these issues where it's just unbelievable. And I know I've said this to you all before, and I know that Dawn feels the same way, but how is it that on issues such as this, which are so fundamental, we're finding that the Republicans just don't get it? And to give more another example of that, last Friday I got to speak at a young GOP convention that was being held in Mobile, and they had on their agenda a Common Core discussion point. And one of our people here, who happens to be a Republican committee chairwoman, called them and said, well, listen, you're having something about Common Core. You need to have someone who is going to represent a counter argument. And so she called me, and I was agreeable, and they agreed. But as I started to give my talk, I said, this is so ironic that they had to reach out to a Tea Party person to get someone to speak about Common Core from the standpoint of why we should not do Common Core. I mean, this is a problem. Now, I have to say, in the discussion group that I had, the people there all asked the person who is giving the pro-Common Core pitch the questions, okay? And they did not receive her points very well. And, of course, I added to their skepticism to begin with. But be that as it may, here's someone from Florida, this young lady from Florida, Jeb Bush person, and, you know, extolling the virtues of Common Core. Jeb Bush is in favor of it. We've got to do these national standards. We shouldn't be afraid of, and Common Core wasn't generated by all the people that people like me say that it was generated by. So, I mean, they have drunk the Kool-Aid too, and this is a major issue in terms of us trying to figure out a way to get Common Core repealed, because you've got the three major groups here in Alabama: the Business Council of Alabama, the AEA, and Alpha Insurance. Of those three, AEA and BCA are the ones that are most adamantly in favor of Common Core. So trying to turn them against Common Core is almost impossible, especially AEA, because that's the education establishment. BCA, we think, has, you know, some possibility that we may be able to turn them. But the fact of the matter is, and I think the last time I was on with you after I had spoken to a Mobile education group that had a BCA chairperson on it. These people think that we are, you know, obstacles. We are distractions. They don't want us around because from the BCA standpoint, all we're doing is raising red flags to all these wonderful businesses that they're trying to bring to Alabama. And every time we go through this hoorah about getting rid of Common Core, well, that's just another manifestation of the Yahoos, you know, anti, you know, they're just know-nothings, and therefore, you know, you know, we need to just go away. And
well,
I,
Lou,
I mean, you know, that's what we're fighting.
I did not introduce you, and I'm a little remiss because Ms. Christina's not been on with you before. So let me introduce a little bit about Lou. Lou is a man, he's a renaissance man, Ms. Christina. Lou is a professor. He is also a head of a tea party. He's a college professor. How about that? And he is also the head of a tea party group in Alabama, in Southeast Alabama, called Common Sense Campaign. And Lou is also a veteran. So he's given of his life, given his very best, and just he comes on ever so often that he has the time to really air out some things that needs to be aired out. But Lou, I think one of the things too that is going to help us this time around, and I know I'm one of those that I'm going to try to shout the loudest and try to use every resource that I can, because the way I see it, with God, all things are possible. So I'm going to go and turn every rock and find some jewel in there that we can use to help fight the battle and hopefully wake up our parents, because that is our biggest problem is, you know, we almost got a bill through in Alabama, and that's not even a fourth or a fifth of parents in Alabama knowing. So what would happen if they really knew, especially the sex ed part, Lou? And that's what I am getting a lot of really encouragement from. When they get the sex ed part, it changes. Their attention is on fire. So I think that's one of the things we're going to use, Lou. But, yeah, we're very disappointed with what went on. But let me go ahead and ask Dawn. Dawn, you just heard what Lou said, and you probably already were reading that about the Student Success Act, which I did, Lou, I did get to talk to Martha Roby's office yesterday, and
yeah,
I was telling them about the charter part, and I was worried about the charter part because, you know, I'm just little old me, and when you compare Charlotte Iserby's mind to the rest of us trying to figure things out, well, she had this figured out eons ago, so we're behind her. So when she opens our eyes to the danger of what's going to happen with this Pandora's box of charter schools, well, they're going to get Common Core in. You can just sit on it, and you're not even going to get a chance. And it's going to be a federal mandate. You know, it's not going to be any more of this enticing with grant money. It's a do or get fined or get, you know, lost your funding deal. But with that in mind, Dawn, did they take the charter school provision out? I'm afraid they did not, did they?
No. No. What's so interesting is that this was obviously done in the middle of the night again. The official site for the House says that they left this as unfinished business. But if you look at the voter roll, it was done today. The date is for today. And it's not just this bill. This isn't the only one. There are four other bills that originated in the Senate that are dangling out there as well, dealing with elementary and secondary education, or No Child Left Behind, because they keep saying this is the replacement for No Child Left Behind. It's the ruse of, well, we know you didn't really like No Child Left Behind, so we're getting rid of that altogether, and we're going to do this. And really, there isn't a ton of difference. And then, frankly, it's so disingenuous because 4 years ago, No Child Left Behind expired. So technically, there is no Child Left Behind. But it is also, you know, really interesting that even in D.C., people that you might consider maybe a little bit more nonpartisan don't seem to understand really the analysis of the bill. I watched C-SPAN yesterday when the bill was going to the floor for a rules vote, and they had a woman on there talking about the bill. Now, her whole deal is to give information about the bill, what it is, what it's trying to do, and the person interviewing her asked who are the opponents to this. And she said, well, you know, the National Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, so, you know, the two largest teachers union in the country. And then she said, well, then it's really strange because Then the other opponents to this are like the chamber, the National Chamber of Commerce. And she says you wouldn't normally consider that because they're, you know, more deemed a Republican-leaning group to be against this very one-sided bill in the House, very Republican-originated bill. And it just never ceases to amaze me. So if she's asking the question, you know, like she's wondering why is nobody looking at that? Why is that? Why is nobody at least mildly curious? Why is the Chamber of Commerce against this? That's kind of weird. But it's education. And it goes the same way a lot of the other policy issues we've seen go. People consistently are okay with spending fistfuls of dollars that are wasted on bureaucracy within education because they're always, anything that deals with education is touted as for the children. And the reality is it doesn't reach the children, and frankly anymore, it's actually harmful to the children. So, you know, I don't think there's a lot of... this isn't one of those things people write about. It's not a sexy policy issue. And because you don't see a ton of people coming out against this, other than us, the grassroots folks, you don't see large organizations coming out against this and trying to make a public statement against it. You know, it goes by the wayside. Nobody pays any attention.
Go ahead, Lee. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, part of the reason that there may not be an initial, pushback on this is because Roby and the congressional delegation here in Alabama have been telling all of us that they will defund Common Core. So as far as, you know, what we're accepting, and look, I mean, this is just like everything else. There's so much going on, you can't do it all. So you take their word for it that they're going to do something fundamental to get rid of Common Core. And I guess my working assumption was this was going to be part and parcel of that. Defund Common Core, do not allow it to go forward, and substitute the Success Act. Now, the devil's in the details, and what you all are saying is that the details aren't all that great. So now we've got more work to do, which just throws us back to, you know, square one once again. And so,
Lou, the big thing about this bill, which has been so bizarre, and actually it really isn't. I mean, if you look at some of the legislation, that has happened previously, 2009, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill that was supposedly, you know, done by bipartisan support wasn't all horrible. I mean, it really did fix some stuff, or at least attempted to. It wasn't completely garbage, as the bill we now see is. And
yeah.
this bill is sort of the same way. I think that for a lot of us, you're a little confused because it had so much stuff in it that was really great. I mean, the way that it definitely reminds and makes law again, taking away all this power from the Secretary of the Department of Education, which is an unconstitutional agency to begin with, and puts it back into the state and local hands. It had all these wonderful things, and then, as Diana said, you talk to somebody with the chops of Charlotte Iserby, and she says, well, you know, but have you looked at the charter schools? And Christina said the same thing. I mean, it's one of the areas she's done a bunch of research in, and she said the same thing. So there's always this little nugget of ick, it feels like, every piece of legislation. So it's hard to know what to feel, because I would still love to be able to support all those parts that were really good. But also knowing, and the president has already said, if this bill runs, he will veto it.
Right. Well, I mean, you see, but that just puts all of this right back to the states, and that's why we just had a planning committee meeting for our state tea parties, and what we're trying to do is come up with a game plan for the session that starts in January. And we really feel, and I think, you know, correctly, that we have got to repeal Common Core at our level and then go forward from there. And if the feds can defund it for the rest of the country, that's fine. We just don't want anything to do with it. And in my talk the other day, I handed out a map that came out of, I think, Cato, and it showed that there are, you know, several states, like four or five of them, like Texas, that never did sign on to Common Core. Then there are about 20 others that are in various stages of rejecting it. And to my way of thinking, that's awfully healthy. It's just that, like I said earlier, we're running into problems with a GOP-controlled legislature that we should not have to fight like this over something which is so black and white. This is what is so terribly frustrating about it. I mean, obviously we're frustrated, but we're going to continue to fight with it. But I mean, and here's the nitty-gritty of it, and that's one of the things that we talked about. Who can you trust up there in the legislature? Well, for the last 2 years, we've had one of the guys who is a big guy in all this, Trip Pittman. Trip has been with us all along, and for 2 years he's tried hard to repeal. You couldn't have asked for anything better. And then in this particular session, when there was a major amendment, a resolution that was being brought within the Education Committee, and instead of just voting to table it, he voted to let it go forward, and what ended up happening is our bill, along with the one that they were voting on, also died. End of story. And we couldn't believe it. I mean, we were stabbed in the back by someone who we thought we could trust. This is the kind of stuff which, I mean, I'm not a politician. I've never had to do this kind of stuff before. This is what drives people up the wall. And then we all start getting to the point where, you know, what's the point? But we can't give up. That's the other point.
Well, I agree completely. I sort of have a different mindset. I don't have any party loyalty. You know, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Libertarian.
Right.
I'm a nonpartisan voter, in all that that really means. And so I feel sort of liberated from the idea of, you know, feeling protective of any party. And
yeah.
And the reason I am, frankly, is because I got so tired of the people who I was having to fight the longest, the hardest, the most, that were sabotaging everything we were trying to do, was the Republican Party that I had belonged to. And now,
yeah,
once again, we see they're just as eager to push through horrible policies because it lines their pockets with money.
Yeah. I'm not at that point yet, but I have to tell you, and I've said this before on this program, that if the Republicans can't get this together to where they are actually doing the work that we think as conservatives they should be doing, then there's going to be a third party movement that's going to start, you know, after 2014. And the fear there, obviously, is that what we're going to do is just, you know, turn things over to the Democrats for another 10 years and let them ruin the country until the third party, Tea Party movement, you know, metastasizes into something big enough.
I love that
over.
Argument, because here's the reality. You have a House that is controlled by the Republicans. You have an administration and a Senate that is controlled by the Democrats. And by the way, when the Tea Party first started in 2009, we started because we were disgusted with Republicans. We weren't even yet completely disgusted with Democrats because we didn't see what they had out in front of us yet beyond the stimulus bill, and that was bad enough. But the reality is, a lot of these people are the same people who sat in their seats and passed a lot of the most liberty-sucking legislation to begin with. And
right.
Frankly, having the Republicans in the House, I don't know where the difference would be if it was Democrats running the show, because I don't see a huge difference anymore.
Yeah, but you see, I really think there's a little bit difference there. Like, I mean, with Pelosi, you're going to get a whole an agenda that's just going to go over the top. With Boehner, we may be unhappy with how he's doing things, but I do think that, well, I mean, look, we don't. It just seems to me that what we're running into here is that our natural, the people that who be very supportive of us, you know, end up being, as you just said, the same people that you have to fight, and that's what is so aggravating.
Well, Lou, you know, thank God 2014 election is coming up. So when we go into our state legislature, that's going to be hanging over their heads. So I really think that we have a very good chance of getting rid of Common Core. And you know why I think that, too? Because of all these federal bills that's now coming up, it's like they know the right, they see the handwriting, so they're going to pass a measure, just like the Harkins bill, the Strengthening America Schools Act, which the Harkins bill will really be following the No Child Left Behind guidelines, you know, which is Common Core. So it is making Common Core the law of the land. And I'm looking at a little something here because I was thinking, what about Alexander and his bill? Well, I'm reading a quote here. Alexander said he'd like to see the Harkins bill, which he opposes, advance. So you know what's going to happen again? It's just like Charlotte said. Alexander likes the charter part. What's going to come out of the joint committee will be a bill that promotes the charter. We just got bet on that. But Ms. Christina, what are your thoughts?
I'm sorry.
If you're still on. Ms. Christina, are you still on? Okay. Let me go ahead and get... Can you talk, Ms. Christina, or you want us to get to you later?
No, I needed to turn that phone off. Sorry that it rang in your
house.
Okay, what did you ask me now,
Dana? You know, I was just saying, again, you know, to me, there's so much sign that what Charlotte Enderby had warned about is going to come true, because I see here an article where Alexander is saying he'd like to see the Harkins bill advance, and, you know, with the already... The H.R. 5 passing, which we know, again, Charlotte Warren's the charter school part, is what's going to come out there on top. And that's probably what's going to come out of the joint committee.
Yeah, right. All those bills, as Don said earlier, all the bills, they're Trojan horses. And I'm watching right now the Facebook posts on H.R. 5, and everybody's just thrilled to death. And this saddens me. It saddens me and it sickens me because we've got so much information available. You know, I post it. I get criticized all over the place for posting what I post. But the fact remains, if you don't understand why the charter system is bad, like I'm reading these posts, well, it's better than nothing, Christina. We got to take the, you know, the victories we get. This is not a victory. This is just like being Delphi'd. There's nothing different. You know, they're pushing you toward this privatization. This is their goal. It's the ultimate goal of UNESCO, the corporations, Bill Gates, who made his agreement with UNESCO, all of these tech companies, all these corporations that have stepped up. This is where we're headed. The Soviet polytech workforce system. That's what's going to come out of the charter school system. This is one more nail in the coffin of our children. So if anybody looks at this as a positive thing, there's nothing positive about this.
Well, and the irony, too, about H.R. 5 was, and, you know, from if this was happening anywhere other than the United States, it would be so interesting the way these things are done, the way we are manipulated. And literally when the bill was first introduced, I talked about how fantastic this thing. This thing was, I mean, I cannot believe it is so good, it's too good to be true. That should have been my red flag. Wait a minute. They never do this, so what is going on? So when Christina, I asked Christina, please look at the charter schools portion of it. That's not my forte. Need to know what's going on there. And, of course, then I get that call, which, you know, she calls and says, uh-oh, you know, now we have a problem. And it's so interesting that they continue to sort of treat us like children, to manipulate us. And it's, I don't think it's on purpose that this stuff is put into a portion of the bill where, you know, you wouldn't really necessarily, because I really don't think average people sit down and read legislation. I think they look at the summary. I think they look at other think tanks or policy organizations to find out what's in it. And by the way, they look at the education committee's press releases, and they're talking about it. And by the way, they're not telling them anything about it. So everybody thinks that everything that's in it is the most fabulous thing. The problem is there is so much good. But frankly, we all know the stuff that we love about it will never get past the Senate. It will never be signed by the president. This is the beginning of the compromise. This is what is so egregious. between the over-the-top Senate bill, which said, listen, we're going to turn over every school, the 16,000 schools or whatever there are, school districts in this nation, we're going to turn these all over to the Secretary of the Department of Education, thereby really making no local state control, no accountability by elected, no elected, for God's sake, beyond, you know, the few other people in the administration. So, you know, here we have two extremes. We have the Republican bill, which, you know, for all intents and purposes to people, looks like, my gosh, we just can't even believe how fabulous this is. Everything we talk about is in there. Everything that we have been discussing that we think needs to change in the policy of education is in there. The other extreme is the Senate that says, yeah, we're just going to give it all over. And do you know what that compromise is going to look like? And people, really, do me one favor. Go look up meaning of compromise. I am all for a full-on negotiation. I am all for bipartisan negotiation where policy is concerned. I am absolutely against compromise. Compromise, Webster Dictionary definition of compromise, is to give up one's values and principles. And that's what the Republican-controlled House does every turn, even with the leverage they have. And so I can only imagine what the compromise between these two bills is going to look like at the end of the day, and it will not be, there will not be the hurrah going on Facebook that we see now. It's going to be a sad day.
Well, it's a hurrah because they don't know what we know. And you know what, Lou? I just really, I think we'd like to give Charlotte a chance to be heard by more Tea Party groups, because what that lady opened our eyes to, I mean, we, you know, Voices in Power, Alice Linehan, Lou, you know Alice, don't you? You know,
what
she's fighting out there. And Alice Linehan from Texas,
oh,
you know,
sure,
she's
right.
With Voices in, yeah, you've had Alice on before with you. And,
right.
And you know what? Alice says, you know, I've been trying to figure it all out, but when I finally listened to Charlotte, I was able to connect the dots where I can see clearly now. See, the problem is we really couldn't see clearly. This woman is a national treasure, just like Colonel Eisenhower that we love, Ms. Barr calls him. You know, we need for them to be heard because they'll help us filter through. Same thing with Ms. Christina. Ms. Christina does the same thing. But you know, they want us to get little bits and pieces. They don't want us to know the big picture. You know, as if we can't handle it. And I'm thinking, if you don't tell me the truth, and if you're just giving me half-truth, in essence, you're giving me a lie.
Well, listen, Diana, one of the things that is happening, the various Tea Party groups in the state are putting together forums named Confronting Common Core, okay? And what they've been able to do is to get Becky Gerritsen, who was such a great spokesperson for the Tea Party movement and standing up for your rights in the IRS business that you may have seen on TV, okay? She's going to moderate this. And we've got people coming from different conservative, you know, organizations that are sending their people down to us. We're not having to pay for them, okay? And so we've got one event in August 16th in Birmingham, and then another event the next day, August 17th, in Huntsville. And the plan is to try to do one in Montgomery and one in Mobile so that the major, you know, cities in the state will be covered so that we can at least get the word out and try to bring more people up to speed in terms of why this is a problem, so that, as you saw in Indiana, where people got fired up about this, we can bring pressure on the legislature so that they understand that it's especially good because the next year is an election year in 2014. So these people in the legislature are going to be particularly sensitive about what's out there. And I do think that, you know, what we're trying to do is to, again, light the state up on fire to try to move us in the direction to repeal Common Core. And I think that the fact that we've got so much support, and I'll tell you what, you know, you talk about Charlotte, we need to get her involved with this, and I think if you can send me her contact information – I'm supposed to be putting these things together down in Montgomery and in Mobile, and I will do that. So let's just plan on doing that.
All of that sounds great, Lou. Well, you know, in the meantime, Lou, can you please get the word out? We have to kill these bills. I mean, I think that we need to be posting kill bill. And when you understand what is down the road, which, you know, it's like the charter school part, you know, we always see what charters has done to Texas, you know, with 33 madrasas, you know, unelected boards. And we're, you know, even the good ones, you know, are, people are finding out down the road, you know, it's turning out bad. It's not staying good. It's more prone to be bad than good. So I think if we kill the bills, then we can make it through another year of trying to get it out, rid of it through our state legislatures. But if these bills pass, you know, it's just like a legal immigration bill. What goes in committee, no one controls. We won't have any control. If anything, the other side is going to fully control, because like Don said, we've been Delphi'd. So I think we need to be putting that on Facebook. We have to kill the bills. I mean, it's just a Pandora's box, because once it goes into committee, just like illegal immigration, with that Harkins bill already in there, and the, have you heard what's in the Harkins bill? It's got the Al Franken Amendment, which is going to force our teachers to lecture about homosexuality being good. So, you know, Alabama ought to be, everybody in Alabama ought to be for killing any bill this time around to reauthorize the Elementary Secondary Education Act.
Well, could I ask, this is Christina, could I ask you a question? Who are some of these speakers you're having to come to these events, if I may ask?
Okay, we've got Jane Robbins from the American Principles Project, Jamie Gass from the Pioneer Institute, Joy Pullman from Heartland Institute, Chris Nielsen, who is Children of the Core. I'm not sure, I hadn't heard of him before. I've heard
of the usual suspects.
Okay. I mean, is that good or bad? I mean,
it's,
you know,
not good.
I can tell you what, we had Sandra Stotsky come here, and we had another guy come here 2 years ago, and I thought Stotsky did a good job explaining why Common Core, you know, wasn't any good from the standpoint of standards and all the rest of that. So, I mean, if you all are going to say that these are, you know, people that we shouldn't trust, then just do me a favor and send something to Diana so she can forward it to me, and I will incorporate that into going forward with another group of people that, you know, we can trust, and I will make my presence known at these two forums that I intend to go to, and if
Lou,
I
think that also gives
right.
Lou, it gives you the ability to ask those people the hard questions about why they weren't digging in or why they aren't talking about certain aspects. I think knowledge is power that way. I don't think even that you have to say, no, we don't want them there, but it certainly gives you the ability to then put them on the spot and say, why aren't you talking about this aspect? Why are you poo-pooing people who are talking about this and all that?
Right.
Lou, let me read to you what we're concerned about. There's a Lou.
When you give us Lou, get it all on tape, please.
What we need to do then is just point me in the right direction so that I can get the specific information I need on this HR 5. Okay, that way we can alert all of the Tea Parties in Alabama to say, all right, here are some things that are troubling, and we want you to take a look at it and then follow up with it and put the pressure that we have on our congressional delegation to say, wait a second, we need to stop and look at this. Because
I'll
people don't know. I'll be honest
you,
with you. I mean, I think I'm fairly, you know, informed about things, but obviously in this discussion, you know, I have no idea of what y'all are talking about in terms of the specifics about the charter schools and things like that. Like I said earlier, My and Dawn, you said the same thing. There are aspects of this that were good. It sounded as though they were trying to, you know, defund Common Core. And, I mean, who's not going to be in favor of that? But as we all know, the devil's in the details. So, once again, we've got to take some time to dig into it. And I'm certainly willing to do that. I want to do that.
Well, Lou, let me read to you something that we read to, you know, Charlotte, which, you know, Charlotte's been studying this thing, and really she was a whistleblower. But I'm going to read to you something that I, you know, and I'm going to forward it to you, too. And I'm sorry I've not done that this summer. For some reason, I just thought you were so busy. But
I
here
am
it goes,
busy.
Lou.
You're so busy, but let me. I'm shocked that we got you today.
Busy in the right direction, you know.
Well, let me read to you what I read to Miss Charlotte.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't read this part, but I'm going to read more than what I. Okay, this is a Lou. This is an interview with Lou Gerstner, you know, Achieve, who really wrote the Common Core Standards. I don't know much, but I finally figured that out. But anyway, here's an interview with a Wall Street
Journal. IBM guy. Is he the former IBM guy?
Yes, Lou Gerstner.
Okay, I think I read that. Yeah.
Did you hear about the 16,000 school districts that he was going to abolish?
I did read that.
That's Charlotte's point. Is she said, you know, they're right there. They're telling you what I've been telling you, and people call her, of course, it's right out there, Lou. They're telling us what they're going to do. And yet we're so busy listening to that fire there burning over there that we're missing what they've actually told us was their plan. They're going to get rid of 16,000 school districts. You know, it's going to be unelected boards. It's going to be 70 regional centers. Isn't that wonderful? I know we're seeing that already in the process. So, yeah, we need to be posting this, is what Charlotte said, all over the place. I think when they read it, it's like, oh, okay, that's what it is. So, anyway, we do have good information. And, Lou, I think I agree with Don. Is you have to, you know, you have to get to these people and you have to ask them. You have to bring these things up, because I don't know why they're going around this subject of charter schools, because it is very dangerous. We already see that in so many avenues.
They're not going around the issue. They're promoting charter schools. They're promoting the privatization of schools. So they're not going around it. What they're going around is the truth behind the charter school and the privatization push. That's what they're going around. They're not speaking to the truth. And if you try to get them to talk about UNESCO and all of that, they just gloss right over it. You try to get them to talk about Bill Gates, they gloss over the horrors of what Bill Gates is all about. So,
can I just ask a question? Who is it when you say they? I mean, I'm running into the same problem when we talk to the superintendent of Mobile schools. They think that we are Looney Tunes to suggest that the facts that we say are facts are real facts. So we're having problems along those lines. But what I'm getting from you is that the suggestion that when we're bringing in, you know, Jane Robbins and Jamie Gass and other people like that, that they have a hidden agenda themselves along the lines of charter schools. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're in the neocon classification. Joy Pullman and Lindsay Burke from the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation's another neocon organization. Hillsdale's another neocon organization. The Hillsdale College, they have their own charter school system already in place. Joy Pullman and them, they advocate the charter school. They advocate for the privatization because they believe in capitalism. Well, I believe in capitalism as well, but it has nothing to do with the real impetus behind the charter school system. And that is the corporate takeover, which will have the marriage between government corporation, which creates the Soviet polytech workforce system, a global workforce. We're moving to a global system.
I completely agree that Common Core is certainly talking along those lines. That's what this is all about. And it's easy to fight against that,
if you don't understand the driving force behind Common Core is just a name for all the other names they've given everything else. I don't care if it's Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, Head Start, whatever. It's just a continuous push, and they keep changing the name, just like they did the Chicago Mastery Learning System. There's nothing different. There's nothing new. And if they try to poo-poo you, you've got the facts. The facts are there. You can use their own words. I've written articles. I've done all these things with their own words. Just use their own words. They cannot say that this is not fact. Sadly, people like Joy Pullman will say, well, you can't back that up with facts. And
okay.
Yes, we can back it up. We can back it up with facts, the volumes of facts. So, again, we've got neocons out there, the Jeb Bushes of the world, that go along that same line, that while they're fighting for Common Core, they don't mind the privatization part. They think that's capitalism for the corporations to take over. No, it is not. Why would Bill Gates sign an agreement with UNESCO if this was all benign and just, you know, a nice little, you know, capitalism thing? UNESCO has nothing to do with capitalism. On the contrary, it has everything to do with taking over and creating good, global, sustainable work citizens, workforce citizens.
Yeah, drones.
They're going to be human resources. They will no longer be children. That's
Ms.
the
Christina,
ultimate goal.
Yes. I'm sorry, Lou. Let me tell you who Ms. Christina is, Lou. I have never heard of anybody fighting the UN and winning, especially in California. Ms. Christina is the only person that I have known that has done that. She fought against, I'm sorry, Ms. Christina, what was the thing that you fought against? I forgot the term.
There were two things that we accomplished here in California. One was the smart meters, which that's all part of the Agenda 21. And then I also got, working in my own valley where I live, one of the cities, to remove all Agenda 21 and sustainable language from their general plan in their city. But
right.
She knows the UN garbage like the back of her hand, and we don't. That's our problem, because we don't. But I think it's something that we need to learn, because I know one of the things that I was shocked with, and I went to the UNESCO website just looking, because Ms. Christina was talking, and I'm looking at the chairman of the Education for All, and I'm looking at their charting and timeline, and it looks a little too much like Common Core. And guess who's the chairman of the Education for All? It is Russia. So anyway, I thought, oh, no. I didn't want to know about all this stuff. But anyway.
Remember, in 1985, Reagan merged our education system along with the Carnegie. He was working with the Soviet Academy of Sciences at the time. So all of this happened. Reagan signed us up with the Soviet education system in 1985. But this goes all the way back to the 30s, 33, with Carnegie and Rockefeller. You know, you can go back to the Skinner method, the operant conditioning, and that's what, you know, the data mining stuff that's going to happen with our children. There's nothing new here, and this is what gets me. I posted a big article on all of this on Facebook, and I got creamed, saying that this has, by Chris Nielsen, by the way, the man that wrote the book, Children of the Core, saying that he cringes when he sees people post things like this that have nothing to do with Common Core. Well, sadly, he just showed how ignorant he is. It has everything to do with Common Core and the agenda behind it.
Well, can you send me that? Because I didn't see it on Facebook, so I'd like to see it. Can you send it to Diana so that she can forward it?
Interview I did with Canada Free Press, and I'll send that to you, and you can read it.
Okay.
But Lou, I guess I'm gonna, it's just there's so much to learn, and the thing is, you know, they want to discount it as if the American people cannot handle it. I think, you know, we're to the point now. This is about the children, and I dare to say most parents want to know, because it's now after their household. And I know we talked to Jackie Verger. You probably heard her story about her disabled child that had a breakdown, and she eventually had to take him out in homeschool. This is New York. They're much ahead of us in Alabama. They're hurting worse than we are because they've been at it longer. We will eventually get to that point. Hopefully it won't be too late. But even Jackie could get that. She could get the UN connection. She was not intimidated. She was to the point when she saw her child breaking down, a normally happy child that normally was so in love with her school, panicking at all these testings and everything. Because now, instead of just doing two steps, that child is being forced six steps. And then we wonder why more kids are on Ritalin and all this. Mental health therapists have told us, you're going backwards with this approach. You are going back 50 years. You're going to raise a generation that is easily manipulated like a national mob. They would be very stressed. And, you know, so it's time to stop acting like a parent can't figure it out. They will. They'll have to study. We have to study. But we are adults. we can do homework. We can really study because, you know, we're motivated. It's that child. We can't afford to be ignorant. So I think we've got to stop having that conversation that people are not going to understand. You just got to be able to present it to them, and they do need to do their research too.
Right.
And now with the sex ed part, it's wrapped up. You know, with, we interviewed Chaplain Klingersmith, and I think you've been on with Chaplain. And if it wasn't for Chaplain telling us that the other day, there was nothing on Fox News about the Harkins bill passing with the No Child Left Behind guidelines, you know, and the Al Franken Amendment to force our children to accept homosexuality is good. There was nothing in the news about that. So we got it from Chaplain, thank God. But, you know, Ms. Barbara just said she got on a talk show this morning and mentioned it. That talk show host was so furious. I think he just about ended his show that day. He was so upset because this is stuff that all of us will be upset of if we just knew.
Right.
And that will be our rally cry, I think, Lou. We've got to let them know what's going on with the Harkins bill. We've got to let them know the danger of charters. And I'm fixing to go to churches. That's one of the things that's in Miss Christina's heart, too, Lou. And you're involved with that. She's going to send letters out. And Miss Christina, Lou has connections with pastors. So share him a little bit about something that, you know, has been laid in your heart, too, if you don't mind.
Well, Lou, I just the Lord really laid on my heart to reach out to the pastors. That we have to do a big push to the pastors. And
right.
Basically what the Lord said to me is, you know, it's time to fight this my way and stop fighting it the world's way. So I'm going to heed the call here and do this big pastor outreach. And so we put together a package. It's just basically, Lou, hitting them between the eyes with God's word and saying, you know, it's time to stand or sit down forever, and then you're going to be accountable to God, because we have to come up with something for these children, alternatives for parents. And what I'm going to be asking the pastors to do, what God has laid on my heart, is for them to open their churches, open these doors, and let these kids come in. We need to think of creative ways to educate the children, to get them out of this pagan cesspool we call a public education system.
Yeah.
And that's the main goal of this. It's about the children. And God, he said, you need to protect my innocence. So that's the calling he's laid on my heart. And it's a big undertaking. And those that are willing, we'll take them. We'll work with them all and get them all together so we can all, you know, work on this project together. Those that turn their, you know, harden their hearts against it, well, they're going to have to stand before the Lord and justify why they did that. It's not my problem. I'm only the messenger.
Right.
Kind of where we're at here. So, like I said, it's a big undertaking, but we already have Pastor Ray Moore from the Exodus Mandate on board, and he's the producer of the indoctrination video. So we're moving forward here to get these packets out and to reach as many pastors to get them to stand, because what basically God shared with me, if the church doesn't wake up, that there's basically nothing. The darkness will take over. And that's kind of
And Lou, I'm asking all my friends, you know, if I could speak to their pastor or their churches and just give them the information. And I think I showed you the pictures that were sent to me for 10-year-olds on up in their sexuality, sex ed books. Did you get to see that, Lou? And so I'm, you know, we're sharing that information to them, and I tell you, I'm getting some really good feedback from people that, you know, because, I mean, the pictures speak for themselves. You know, 10-year-olds ought not to be exposed. As Pastor Wayne has said, you know, if I did this, and he was a teacher in high school, he said, you know, they'd be taking me away. This is not fit for high school or elementary school. So 10-year-olds, it's time to take a stand, and I think now, you know, there's pastors that are sharing the information. I'm one of the, I guess, not lucky, blessed one, because you've spoken to my pastor and my congregation. I think just about every one of them knows what Common Core is and the danger, because he's disseminating information, which, Lou, that's what you teach. They can do that. I mean, you've tried to do that with your pastor's conference.
Well, I mean, that's true. I think the thing that Christina's talking about, though, is something that We need to share the approach they're taking and what they're doing, because frankly, this is a major threat. And what the secularists want to do is to wring God and the Bible out of any discussion. And what's really troubling is what's going on in the military, where, you know, chaplains are getting into trouble for obvious conflict with religious doctrine in terms of what the homosexual agenda is, and that they've already gotten into the military as far as, you know, allowing the homosexuals to serve. Okay, so you've got some major problems here that have got to be addressed, and if they don't do it soon, then the door is going to be closed, and as Christina said, the darkness will take over, if it hasn't already. I mean, I don't think it's too late, but we can't fool around with this any longer, and we certainly have got to make sure that we're doing everything we can in Alabama to make sure that you know, we're taking the steps that are necessary to fight this in a way that at least offers hope of success down the road.
Well, I'm going to be sending her contact information to you, Lou, and y'all. Okay. I know that Ms. Christina will send you the information, but I think it's waking up the church. It's time for sure. Really, is we they have not been engaged, and now our children are suffering, and it breaks our hearts. And so, for those that are listening, it's almost time to close the show. You know, we really have to get all hands on deck. And, you know, nobody can afford to sit down and really not do their homework. It's so sad that the principals, the superintendent that's pushing it in each state, Lou, has not done their homework on Common Core. I think it's like a crime, Lou. It's a crime. I mean, we're talking about abuse to the children when you don't do proper study, proper work, and yet you're in the field of testing and studying, and you don't even do it. So, you know, it's got to stop. Oh, Lou?
Yeah.
You'd like what Professor Stotsky had said. James Milgram was on, and you know Professor Milgram. I mean, one of the most intellectual men in the nation, very objective. And when we asked him, what can we do? What do we do, Professor? He said, homeschool your children. This is from Professor Milgram. He said, my suggestion is you homeschool your children because the math is so confusing. This is why he doesn't have Americans working in his, you know, students anymore. He hasn't hired American students in his math anymore, department anymore. He says, you need to get those children out. And then Professor Stotsky, she says, now, these are very intellectual people, but you look at the words they're saying, Lou. It's very emotional because it is urgent. It is emergency time. They're not messing around. Professor Stotsky says, you know, when these superintendents tell you they've spent a lot of money, she says, tell them no. She says, you know, when you find out that this thing that you're giving is poison, you don't keep on giving it to the children, no matter how expensive your poison supply is.
Yeah.
And that's common sense, isn't it, Lou?
Well, of course, but the problem, though, is that even homeschooling is not going to be immune from what's going to happen with Common Core, because if the colleges get hooked into all of this and the assessments are all tied to Common Core standards and everything, and, you know, homeschoolers are eventually going to have to take a look at Common Core in order to be getting their kids ready to pass the test to get to college. That's how insidious all this is, you know? So, I mean, look, I think that, you know, whatever we do has got to be done fast, and I think that should be the spark. I mean, what's going on with all this Harkins-Franken business may very well be the spark that's necessary to awaken the pastors, because I'll tell you something, the moral crisis argument that we made to get them involved, it only went so far, because the moral crisis runs right into their pocketbooks when they start pushing their people to look carefully at what's going on. So maybe this issue will transcend all that and force the pastors to come to grips with a reality that will push them in the right direction. We'll see.
Can I also say, Lou, that I've heard this argument for months now about, even if we take our kids out of school, we have to worry about the Common Core into the homeschooling community,
yeah,
which is true, but there are places to get material that hasn't been polluted. And, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do because they've changed the ACT and the SAT and stuff now? This is the argument they want us to have, by the way, because this comes from a position of weakness. This comes from a position of compromise, because every parent will say, and they know this, well, I have to do it because my kid won't get into college. Here's the reality. The college only exists because of the money they make off the student. So if every parent is homeschooling and every parent is not buying into the system and every parent isn't sending their kid out to take ACT, SATs, they lose money. This is how we shut down the system, is by being completely subversive to the system they've set up.
I agree with that. And the other thing to do is that we've got to find colleges that are going to say no to this. And that is something that I think can be done. Liberty University and Hillsdale and places like that may very well say that we're not buying into it either. But
Not Hillsdale. Okay.
But be that as it may, there are colleges that are going to be more receptive to fighting this, and I think we need to kind of solicit them and get them saying what we just said here, that they're going to stand up and say no to all of this so that people will understand that. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, Dawn, that we need to be able to leverage our strength in this. But I do think that, you know, it makes sense to pursue that so that there is a solution to this independent of all the stuff that's going on with what they're trying.
I totally agree with that, Leo. I just think that parents should be like the ultimate consumer that they are. You want to shop around where your kid's going to go to school? We get a bunch of parents that start saying, guess what? I don't want to send my kid to Stanford. I don't want to send my kid to Harvard or different some of these different colleges because they support this indoctrination in their philosophy. And, you know, if parents aren't feeding the pig doesn't keep getting big. So you shop it around just like you will with any other consumer product. I think we have to stop being namby-pamby about stuff and start acting like what we are, which is the ultimate consumer as parents. If parents stop buying certain things, you know, if parents didn't think a Harry Potter was a fantastic read for their kids, do you think that that book series would have had the success it did? No.
No, but here's the problem with the college side of it, though, is that we've known for 50 years or at least 40 years what's going on in college, and it hasn't stopped. You know, what's taking place in terms of indoctrination, in terms of left-wing approaches and all like that. So, I'd like to see a market solution to this. I think that we better have some colleges that are going to stand behind us, solid colleges that if you send your kid there, they're going to get a good education and be prepared for the world. But, you know, I'd like to believe a market solution on this, and I'm certainly willing to support it, but I do think that, you know, given what we've seen over the last 40 years, and, you know, it's one of these things where I think we better be careful about that. But I do think that there are going to be colleges that are going to support us, and some of them may very well be Catholic colleges, even though some of them are kind of liberal at this point. The homosexual issue is going to be a wedge issue because Catholic doctrine is in conflict with it, and a choice has to be made. And that choice is going to be coming sooner rather than later, and when it does, that may very well be a tipping point for what we're trying to do, because unless the Catholic Church is willing to give up its doctrinal foundations, then they're going to have to say no to this. And they're going to have to start telling people like Pelosi, you're not receiving communion and the sacraments and all the rest of it.
Well, here's the sad part, Lou. The Catholic Church is the first huge system in education that has accepted
Common
Core.
Okay. I know that. And believe me, I don't go to church because I'm sick of listening to the crap out of the pulpit, okay? But I will say this, that they have not had to confront what they are about to confront right now. So whether it's the HHS rules with abortifacients and all like that, which they are challenging, and if it's these other things in terms of, you know, priests going to marry homosexuals and all the rest of that, that is a fundamental challenge which I think is going to awaken them. I hope it does. And if it doesn't, Well, then that's just their problem, I guess. But my feeling is that there may very well be, you know, a moment here where the church may come to grips with reality and move in a different direction. We'll see.
I think the way that you are feeling right now, I can hear it in your voice. You feel frustrated, but it's going to light a fire under you, which, by the way, is always roaring anyway. And that's exactly what I think we're looking for in everybody. I don't care which pew you're sitting in every Sunday. You know, I think that's the same kind of fire that, and it's what we talk about a lot here. You know, we're also sick of sitting our butt in a pew and not having even the leadership of our church follow the doctrine of our faith.
Yeah, well, I agree. And then people like Mark Foley down here, who's the president of, you know, University of Mobile, he is on fire too. And I think that, you know, he has the ability, which is why it was so interesting to have him with us on these pastor conferences. And he has the ability to motivate and get these pastors involved to the present danger is what it really boils down to.
Lou, thank you for having the pastor.
Over your time. This is such a great discussion
today.
Well,
let me pray for you, Lou, before you go. We got to pray for you because you are our general. And I know Miss Christina's just chomping at there, waiting for to contact you because she just loves what you're saying. I know she's waiting for this kind of man. And here he is, Lou Campanosi. He's one of those, Miss Christina. So he's going to be making a rally for us, I think, a charge. And, you know, with God, all things are possible. And I think, Lou, that's what he's wanting. He's wanting people to hear the truth and do something with it. And I hear you're going to do something with it. We're going to do something with it. And I'm believing from the feedback I'm getting with parents, Lou, they're also going to do something with it. So I really think that, you know, what is awful is going to bring about a lot of good things because it's going to make us bend our knees and bow our head and ask God for mercy and help. And with that, he can do something with us. So with that in mind, Ms. Christina, would you mind closing in prayer and praying for Lou because he is in the very forefront in our state and really throughout the country. He knows an awful lot of leaders, and I really think that Lou's going to open the eyes. I know Liberty Council is one of those. Liberty University is one of those. I think we can trust. We'll open that door, Lou, that you're talking about, and hopefully others will too. So, Ms. Christina, would you mind praying for Lou and, of course, all of us in this nation?
Of course. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the blessing of this radio show today. We thank you for the information that you've brought forth that we all have shared. It's so important that people hear all of this information and receive it into their spirits. And Lord, I just lift up Lou to you right now and all that he is putting his hand to, Lord. I ask for your blessings upon it. I ask you for your guidance and your wisdom, your protection around him, your discernment that you give him deep in his spirit, Lord, to know what it is that he is to do and how to do it. Lord, we lift up all that he is doing in Alabama and wherever else his hand reaches or touches, Lord, that people will listen to the message he has to bring and that, Lord, it will minister to their spirits and bring them forth into action, Lord. That's what we need is to activate people, to wake them up. And, Lord, we know that this is about your kingdom, for we know time is short, and we all come together here to be about your business, Lord, to wake this nation up and hopefully to wake up the body of Christ in the process, Lord, because as you shared with me, time is so very short, and this battle must be fought your way, Lord. This is why we have developed Operation Jericho. Because, Lord, you showed me Joshua and shared Joshua. And we are the Joshuas, Lord, that are going to go forth in obedience to you, Lord, to wake up the church. And, Lord, we just thank you for Lou's hand in all of this. And we thank you for his blessings that are coming forward to him, Lord, as you guide him, his steps, each and every one that he is supposed to take and do. Lord, we ask for favor when he speaks to people, that their eyes and ears open to see and hear, Lord, and they receive the truth. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of the City on the Hill radio show, for Miss Diana and for Dawn. That, Lord, we just thank you for your blessings upon all that you give us and all to do. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings and protection on each and every one of us as we go forth. And Lord, we pray for all those that are listening, that they receive this message and that they begin to understand, Lord, that there is urgency and that they will come forward and stand in the gap with the rest of us. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, and we give all the honor and the glory and all that we do to you. And we thank you for this and pray in your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Very nice.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, thank y'all. Bye, Lou. And bye, Mr.
Okay,
Christina.
Y'all take care.
Gone.
Bye, Don.
Thank
bye,
you.
Diane.
Talk to you later. And,
okay,
Christina, I will forward y'all the contact information. So, listeners,
okay.
We're
Sounds
so
good.
Grateful that you listened to us, and we hope that you'll share this information. Be in prayer for the steps you need to take. And, as always, you know, God's best to worship him in spirit and in truth. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Goodbye.